Broadcasting from the Washington, D.C. studios of the National Right to Life Committee, this is Pro-Life Perspective, America's pro-life voice. And now, here's National Right to Life President and Pro-Life Perspective host, Carol Tobias.
A few years ago, David Savage, the Supreme Court reporter for the L.A. Times, wrote a piece exploring the court's Roe v. Wade decision that legalized abortion on demand. The piece appeared shortly after the Library of Congress released the papers of Justice Harry Blackmun, the author of the majority opinion in Roe. As we mark the 39th anniversary of the court's decision, we've been looking back at Savage's article as a history lesson behind the Roe ruling and its subsequent effect on abortion jurisprudence in the United States. Savage writes that in June 1971, five justices voted to hear abortion cases from Texas and Georgia. These justices did not include Chief Justice Warren Burger and Justice Harry Blackmun. When those cases did come before the court in December of that year, only seven justices were seated. Justices Hugo Black and John Marshall Harlan, both ailing and near death, had suddenly retired. Their Nixon-appointed successors, Lewis F. Powell and William Rehnquist, would not join the court until January and thus would not participate in abortion deliberations that term. At the court's private conference, all seven justices agreed that the Texas law was extreme and unconstitutional, according to the notes of several justices. Even Byron White, a critic of abortion, said doctors must be permitted to act when there were health problems. Interestingly, Savage points out that Blackmun voiced disdain for feminists who said women deserved control over their bodies. "There is no absolute right to do with one's body what you like," he said. But he agreed that the Texas law was extreme and said it did not go far enough to protect doctors. Savage observes that the justices felt the Georgia law was much better, except for a requirement that three doctors approve an abortion. Days later, the liberal justices were irked to receive a memo from Chief Justice Burger saying he had chosen Blackmun to write both opinions. With little guidance from colleagues, Blackmun and his clerks began research. So much hinged on this decision, and yet the final outcome was not clearly understood by the American people. To this day, a vast majority of Americans do not realize the full scope of the Roe v. Wade decision. To make matters worse, pro-abortion groups and their sympathizers prefer it this way and promulgate misinformation, such as that Roe only allows abortion in the first 3 months. This misinformation helps pro-abortion groups, but as the truth comes out, more and more people reject the lies of the abortion industry and recognize that abortion on demand is the legacy of Roe v. Wade. They also realize that the Supreme Court's decision has resulted in the death of over 53 million unborn children. On the day the ruling was announced, Savage notes that Chief Justice Burger said, "Plainly, the court today rejects any claim that the Constitution requires abortion on demand." It is evident in the years since that Roe v. Wade have been interpreted to mean that abortion should be available whenever and whatever the circumstances. The very fact that Chief Justice Burger felt compelled to explain that the ruling didn't go so far as to create abortion on demand should have been a red flag for the court that maybe it did go too far. Whether or not it was the court's intention, or Justice Blackmun's intention in the ensuing years, the court, Blackmun included, had several opportunities to narrow the scope of the ruling and persuade his colleagues to do the same. Instead, Justice Blackmun argued that the scope of Roe be upheld. Tomorrow, we'll continue our examination of David Savage's article, and I hope you'll once again join me for our discussion. Until then, visit prolifeperspective.com for resource links related to this week's series.
You've been listening to Pro-Life Perspective from National Right to Life, the nation's largest grassroots pro-life organization. For more information on today's episode and to get involved, visit our website at www.nrlc.org.